Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you. And you are going to continue as we look towards the abiding in Christmas. We're one day away, and I think we're almost ready. You know, we heard the Christmas story both in word and song. Can you say amen to that? I love it. That was great. We're reminded that the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And he called his name Jesus. There's a lot of commercialism. We talk about it, and perhaps each year it's a good reminder that we need to be so careful. Like perhaps some of you, I made the attempt earlier. I believe it was yesterday and today. Thought I'd go into Silverdale. That was a mistake. I have not seen them backed up to my street entrance in quite a while on Ridgetop, but I thought, wow, I could feel the impatience. And you ever get stuck in a parking lot? I went to Lowe's. I had to pick something up at Lowe's, right? No one would let me out of the parking lot. That was tragic. I thought, I'm going back in and buy some more cool stuff. And it's so easy to get trapped in so many things that go. There was a guy that I know who was really frustrated with all the stuff going on. He kind of got impatient, and he had decided, you know, this year I'm not going to send out all those Christmas cards. You know how as you buy a box of cards and you just kind of sign your name and you send them off. You know, I don't know. That's the cards are cool, but a lot of times we struggle in maybe writing something. And this guy thought, I'm just not going to do it. But like many of us, 2 days before, he started feeling guilty. And he thought, I really ought to do something. So he ran out and bought one of the last boxes of Christmas cards available, a box of 50. And he filled them out and rushed very quickly, thought, if I get them in the mail, get them in tonight, maybe they'll still get there, maybe the day after Christmas. You know, he was just so excited, and he did it. He's hours of just writing, addressing, stamping. I mean, you know how hard work that is? Finally, it was all done. 49 cards sent out in the mail. Exhausted, he went to bed. Got up the next morning and thought, you know, I never really did read the inside of the card. So the front's just amazing. Christmas is here. And in the inside, this Christmas card has come to say, a gift from us is on the way. That's what happens when you wait to the last second. Abiding in the whole Christmas. You and I understanding the whole Christmas. In Luke, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her, obviously Mary, to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And that is the Christmas story, the beginning of it, the birth of Jesus. I'm still amazed at the fact that God chose Joseph and Mary. They were probably the most unlikely people in the most unlikely place to be picked to bring about the Messiah, literally the king of the entire universe, which reminds me of something that you and I ought to remember. Who we have in our lives is much more important than what we have. I mean, when you think Bethlehem, I've been to Bethlehem Bethlehem today is a great tourist trap that you can go. And seriously, in Israel, they've transformed basically a very small village into something that's pretty profitable. Sad to say. I mean, you'd like to think of all the amazing things that could be present there. But back at this time, Bethlehem was one of those, it was a place you just went through. You didn't stop there. It even tells us, Micah 5:2 reminds us, says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you arise little," there it is, "little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old and from everlasting." Even Scripture acknowledged the fact that this is a very small, know-nothing place. I've often thought we could easily replace, "But you, Bremerton, though you arise little among the thousands of the United States, yet out of you can come great things." I want you to take that to heart and realize that God can use any and every one of us in some of the smallest and some of the most improbable ways that you could imagine. God can use you in a family gathering. God can use you when you perhaps least expect. The opportunities come. Mary and Joseph literally became the parents to the Messiah of the universe. You know, Mary and Joseph probably grew up together. You know, coming from the same village, they probably played together. And you just, one day something happened. Joseph noticed Mary wasn't just a kid anymore. You know how that goes. All of a sudden they were just kind of playmates, and now all of a sudden he noticed that she was kind of pretty, and Mary realized Joseph wasn't as much of a geek as she thought he was. Parents would have arranged their marriage. It would have been a match because of their lineage. They would have been betrothed together. And in their betrothal, their engagement was a very public thing, very formal, very important, very significant. It was as if you're man and wife almost. This was a tremendous event that would have taken place. This would have been a village celebration. Everyone came out for a marriage in their village like this. And I can imagine all the times they enjoyed together getting ready for this amazing moment that was about to take place, being married, the preparations, getting the house ready, getting all the things that were about to take place. But one day Mary was very distracted. She wasn't her normal self, and Joseph, kind of in that quiet moment, I can see him sort of tugging at her sleeve saying, "What's wrong? What can I do for you? You seem off right now. Something must be bothering you." And I just imagine at some moment, because we know it happened, Mary finally turned and looked at Joseph. "Joseph?" And I could see him waiting. "I'm pregnant." "Pregnant?" Joseph would have been very surprised. He would have been a little bit, and I could see Joseph saying the words, especially coming from a village and all that they, "How can that be? Mary, what happened? Have I not loved you enough? I've loved you. I gave you. We're engaged. We have our future planned. Our house is almost ready. I mean, how could you have gone and slept with another man? How could you have been so unfaithful? How could you have ruined our life? Everything we planned, everything we had hoped for, now it's all gone because you got pregnant." Of course, Mary would have turned to him and said, "Well, it's not what you think, Joseph. I haven't been with another man." And he's looking at her kind of, "Really? No, really, Joseph, God got me pregnant." Doesn't even sound right now, does it? Wow. Fortunately, an angel came and said, "Joseph, really, she's pregnant." and it was from God. Life brings some pretty amazing twists and turns, doesn't it? I was driving home, and there's only one way to get to my house. And now there are several new potholes on the way to my house. And I have to go over the potholes. And the road's a little bumpy. But here's what I want you to learn. Just because the road's bumpy doesn't mean you're on the wrong road. Just because life doesn't work out exactly the way you thought it should doesn't mean that you're outside of where God wants you. I want you to begin to understand that there is something pretty amazing. That's, you know, Scripture tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says that's why we never give up. We never give up. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we will see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Can you say amen to that? Our culture is doing everything it can to wipe out Jesus. Not just Christmas, but it's becoming such a battle right now. We are minimizing, we're trying to sanitize and sterilize everything of Jesus and religion and God. I was listening to the news over the last couple days, and they're, you know, they interview people, and you would hear the story of, wow, so what's the meaning of Christmas? And your ears perk up as you listen to a national television newscast, and there's the expert telling you what Christmas really means. And then she starts telling you about all the food and the family and the gifts and all the things. And not once is Jesus mentioned. I was listening to a Christian program on Christian TV. What's the meaning of Christmas? And I got to tell you, my heart broke. Not once did anyone say it's about Jesus, even on the Christian program. Now, I'm sure it was said elsewhere, but can you see how our culture right now is bringing about a battle? Let me tell you what the Christmas story is. Jesus was born. Jesus lived on earth about 33 years. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus rose over death and hell, and then he ascended into heaven. That's the whole Christmas story. And we don't want to forget that. There was this amazing advertisement. I'm always looking for something kind of quirky in Christmas, and seems like the last couple of years it's been the Christmas trees. I found another one. The advertisement got me. Space-saving Christmas tree. Less tree, more presents. That was the advertisement. So I bought one. Is this not a gorgeous tree? This is for sale. Half price. This is half a Christmas tree. You can buy this per the advertisement. I mean, it's just like Hollywood. It's a facade. Behind it's nothing. It goes against the wall. Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's a really great idea. Now you got more floor space for all those gifts that you can put out. The world is trying to suggest half a Christmas. I am urging you to understand the whole Christmas and to focus your attention on the entire message. The angel of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Let me say it again. Christmas is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. What a gift. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Look what it says, but have everlasting life. And then the next sentence. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be, say it with me, saved. And like anything else, God has no hidden agendas for you. He loves you. He loves every one of us. And I know some people, I've had this conversation, who have said, there must be something else to this. This is too easy. This is too simple. There must be something behind this. I want you to know there is nothing behind it other than God loves you. And he created you to give you purpose and to enter back into a relationship with him. And the only way that happens is by believing in him as the only begotten Son, as the Savior of all the world. And then God does this amazing thing. You know, people have asked me, how do you keep going? Well, I'll tell you one of the ways I've learned to keep going. I've learned about God's forgiveness. I am still so amazed at this amazing gift, miraculous kind of concept that God forgives me. I've done lots of things I shouldn't have done. I've said things I shouldn't have said. I have the same kinds of struggles you have, and you know what is it that helps me to get up the next morning and keep going? The forgiveness of God. What an amazing thing that it reestablishes relationships when they've been broken. It reestablishes health in your life. Unfortunately, our concept of forgiveness is often again skewed. You know, somehow I think some of us believe that forgiveness is, you know, you got your list of sins and then we crumple them up. And the problem with our list of sins and that they're crumpled, it's, well, they're still crumpled in front of you. And a lot of us live this way. Look what it says in Psalm 32. What joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Out of sight. Wow. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable. Now you know that this is David talking right now. And I groaned all day long. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you. I stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I'll confess my rebellion to God, and you forgave me. And all my guilt is gone. That's the only way David could ever survive. Listen, that's the only way you and I can survive. God, it says, and again, David wrote, does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Again, the word is for sin. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has removed our transgressions from us. And listen to this last sentence. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Some of us live with our sin just lying around. You know, this middle candle represents Jesus. And God says, I'm going to take this out of your sight. Out of your sight. It's gone. That's what it means to have your sin cleared out of sight. And that was so much fun, I'm going to do it again. I mean, realizes it makes you want to just say, God, free me of your sin. Can you say amen to that? Amen. When you go to God, yeah, go ahead, give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. God says, I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. And that's why the word says, be full of joy in the Lord and rejoice. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is filled with joy and my mouth shouts his praises. And listen to this, my body rests in safety. As the worship team comes back, I want you and I to think of what God has already done and what Jesus can do right now. Your sins can be taken out of sight. You can have the best Christmas ever. Some of you are believers and you struggle with this. You have not forgiven. You have not received forgiveness. And God is standing right there saying, let me take this out of your sight. Think of that one thing you need to let go and put into the hands of God. And then let God take it away. Let's pray. Lord, as we look to you, we thank you for what you and you alone can do. Lord, I pray for the transformation that will happen. I pray, Lord God, for what you can do to help us. Lord God, receive the amazing gift of your forgiveness. For what you can do, Lord God, in every one of our lives. Take a moment and ask God. Maybe ask God to forgive you. I invite you to follow Jesus and to walk with him.